Before I begin my sermon, I thought I'd share a little bit about All Saints Day. When we gather in worship, we praise God with believers that we cannot see. And when we celebrate Holy Communion, we feast with the past, the present, and the future disciples of Christ. We experience the communion of saints, the community of believers, living and dead. This faith community stretches beyond space and time. We commune with Christians around the world, believers who came before us and believers who will come after us. We believe that the church is the communion of saints, and as a believer, you belong to the communion of saints. The Apostle Paul uses the Greek word koinonia for communion. The subtleties of koinonia embrace community and fellowship. He describes a community bound together in faith and common experience. Koinonia richly depicts believers coming together in the hopes of harmony and worship of God. This is the deep and rich unity we celebrate as the communion of saints. United Methodists understand saints to be believers who exemplify the Christian life. Hence, all Christians strive to be saints in how we live our faith. United Methodists recognize early followers of Jesus to be saints. For example, you may know United Methodist churches that are named St. Paul or St. Andrew or St. Peter. United Methodists do not pray or worship saints. We also do not think of saints as those who serve as mediators to God on our behalf. All believers enjoy immediate access to God. The United Methodist Church has no canonization process for sainthood, and the church does not set apart saints as a separate group of specialized believers. Rather, it calls all believers to be saints. So from now on, I'm Saint Joanna, right? Far from it. Thank you so much. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. When we lose a loved one or want to express love to our neighbor, each and every one of us has heard or used the phrase, "You are in my thoughts and prayers." Some critics of the phrase have pulled from the Bible scripture to reinforce their point that thoughts and prayers without effective action are meaningless. They quote James, What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but do not have works? Can faith save you? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and eat your fill, and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what's the good of that? Likewise, in one of his addresses, Pope Francis stated, prayer that doesn't lead to concrete action toward our brothers is a fruitless and incomplete prayer. Prayer and action must always be profoundly united. Certainly, James and Pope Francis are right that the words without action are not enough, no matter how good the words. But not everyone agrees that the phrase thoughts and prayers is little more than verbal junk food. What brought the debate over this terminology to mind was the reading from 2 Thessalonians that Will read today. The New Testament presents 2 Thessalonians as a letter from Paul to the followers of Jesus at Thessalonica. And the lectionary today has broken today's passage from the first chapter into two blocks, verses 1 through 4 and verses 11 through 12. In the first block, Paul makes it clear to his readers that they are in his thoughts. But he gets specific about it, saying that he and his companions give thanks to God for you because your faith is growing abundantly and the love of every one of you for one another is increasing. He even goes on to say that he and his co-workers boast about the Thessalonians and the churches of God for your steadfastness and faith during your persecutions and the afflictions that you are enduring. Obviously, Paul has spent some time thinking about those whom he addressed in this letter. In the second verse block, Paul tells his readers that they are in his prayers as well, but not just a general, I'll say a prayer for you, kind of way. Rather, he gets specific about the content of his prayers. We always pray for you, asking that our God will make you worthy of his call and will fulfill by his power every good resolve and work of faith, so that in the name of our Lord Jesus you may be glorified and you in him. Because Paul spells out his thoughts and prayers, they have the ring of sincerity, genuine expressions of his feelings toward the Thessalonian believers. Thus, Paul may show us how to put meat on the bones of thoughts and prayers. No matter how helpless we may feel when expressing solidarity with someone who has suffered great loss, no matter that we know words alone will not suffice, sincere thoughts and prayers are not nothing. Thoughts are work because they push us to view what's happened, not from our view, but the view of those directly affected. Thoughts are work, especially when they lead us to consider if there's any concrete action we might do or support others in doing that will help. Could the grieving person use a hand right now with kids or an aging relative for whom they are a caregiver? Is there some task that we can take off their plate, even if just for a little while? Likewise, prayer is work. If you say your prayers are with someone and you follow through by actually praying for them, you're putting yourself in a place to see beyond our own horizons and walk in someone else's shoes. Prayer deepens our empathy and puts us in a place where God can change us and lead us to some action that we can take. Though all good things come from God, praying for others assumes that God may allow our prayers to be a means by which God does good for others. Plus, you're speaking to God on their behalf, seeking God's grace for them at a time when they may be so wounded that they can't even pray for themselves. Peter advised the early Christians to be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. But in times of deep trouble or pain, people are likely to be anything but clear-minded and self-controlled. That's not to say they can't call out to God, seeking God's grace for them at a time when they may be so wounded they can't even pray for themselves. But praying is not easy when grief has us in its grip. Prayer, in which we petition God, can at least be as demanding of our attention as writing a letter or carrying on a serious conversation. And when someone is in grief, we can shoulder some of the work by offering a prayer for them. If we have a relationship with God, then our prayer is an event in that relationship. It might not be a decisive event, but it's a new element in the situation which we're presenting to the ones for whom we are praying. It's asking God's help of what greater source of help is there? In times of tragedy, whether it affects many or only a few, thoughts and prayers will never be the whole answer, but often it's all that we have. Writing about the difficulties of life, author Anne Lamont said, "It's funny. I always imagined when I was a kid that adults had some kind of interior toolbox full of shiny tools, the saw of discernment, the hammer of wisdom, the sandpaper of patience. But when I grew up, I found that life handed you these rusty, bent, old tools, friendships, prayer, conscience, honesty, and said, do the best with these that you can. They will have to do. And mostly, against all odds, they're enough. God has also given us thoughts of prayer and prayers in that box of seemingly inadequate tools and told us to do the best we can with them. Thus, our thoughts and prayers, sincerely and genuinely offered and followed through on, are never nothing. They are ways that the Lord has given us to love our neighbor. Amen. I'm going to try to show you. I found something else I was thinking of using on the screen this morning, and I don't know if I can find it, but be patient. Let me go look. I don't know. I thought it spoke volumes. Something different. I've lost my bullet. It's amazing how musical cues help you. Okay. I found it. Thank you. At this time, we will begin our service of word and table. If you want to follow along, beginning on page 12, but most of what you need is in the bulletin. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who honestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Let us therefore confess our sin before God and one another by praying together the prayer of confession that's printed in our bulletins. Lord of mercy, forgive us when we make excuses for our lack of faith. We let our selfishness and apathy get in the way of illumination and peace. We find ways to duck out of our opportunities for service and witness, claiming that we are too small and too ill-equipped to be effective witnesses of Jesus Christ. How foolish can we be? All of our lives, God has been present to us. Whether or not we knew it, God's love is always surrounding us. Yet we've not taken time to recognize it. We whine and complain about the misfortunes that have fallen us. We wonder where God is. We want immediate release from our struggles. And when release comes, we again move off in our own realms of self-centeredness. Help us, O Lord. Stop us from being so faithless. Open our hearts with your forgiving spirit, that having been healed and forgiven, may actually be effective witnesses to your love and compassion. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You have always been loved by God. Know that you are healed and forgiven, and that God has placed a special blessing in your life. Rejoice, for God is with you. Serve God in all that you say, think, and do. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you. Let us share the peace of Christ with one another. Peace be with you, Will.
Peace be with you.
Pass the peace to you. Then also with you, and thank you so much, Sharon. This is working out well. Do you know what to do when it's time?
Yeah, I hold it and say, "What have Christ shed for you?" And then their name, right?
If you know their name, sure, yes. So that'll be a little while, but that's what you do. Thank you. Miss Jean. Go pass the peace with Jean. Not the communion, just the peace. Oh, okay. Yeah. Mm-mm. No. At this time, let us return to God a small portion of what God has given to us. Oh, okay.